Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Trump's nominees are doing a great job on Capitol Hill. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful day on Monday when President Trump is inaugurated. But boy, was Biden's farewell address a downer, man. A fitting end to a terrible presidency. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I appreciate you being here for an action-packed hour of nonstop talk. And this is the happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place where I love to get away. And think about this now. It's not too late to start thinking about summer vacation. So go to grandhotelcapemay.com. If you need an event, they have incredible ballrooms, four ballrooms, and they have my friend Caitlin, who will help you plan the wedding of your dreams. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Thank you for sponsoring our happy hour. I want to play this for you. This is Doug Burgum on how he would help make President Trump's vision of American energy dominance come to fruition. Doug Burgum, my man, who was on the show with us during the campaign. Cut number four.
Don't want to get caught in making forward-looking statements because the council will be formed by an EO. But I think that the intention, as you can read in President Trump's public statements, are he's very simple. He wants to cut red tape. He wants to have more affordable energy for us. He wants to sell energy to our friends and allies so they don't have to buy it from our adversaries. That's how we reduce tensions in the world. And then we've got to make sure that we're doing it in a smart way because he talks all the time about clean air, clean water. So he's basically talking about the approach that we're talking about here at this committee. This committee will be deeply involved in helping set those policies. But it's an all of above, go get it done and stop getting in the way of ourselves. And particularly with this AI, the AI battle, people don't understand that what's coming right now with AI revolution is going to happen during President Trump's term, where when we have generalized intelligence that we can manufacture, it's going to affect our ability to compete with every other power. And China they permitted more than two coal plants a week in the first half of 2023. And this is they're already the world's largest emitter. So we're competing against someone who's going to create more electricity, produce more AI, and this could be how we lose the Cold War with them if we don't get it done. We have to do it here, and we're a country that believes in reclamation. We believe in following labor laws. China, child labor, no reclamation, no care about the environment. They're a tough competitor right now in terms of their ability to produce electricity. So we've got to get going. We've got to cut red tape, and we've got to realize that if you shut down U.S. energy production here, it doesn't help the global environment. That's a false trade-off. It doesn't help because somebody else produces it someplace else, less cleaner than we do.
Fantastic. I mean, incredibly eloquent. That's why I thought he would become the next president of the United States of America. But I was off. But he did a great job in that. And he's going to do a great job in this position as Interior Secretary and also working on this energy coalition that President Trump has put together. It's really important stuff here. The AI component of this, AI needs massive, massive energy. Look, the bottom line is we don't have an infrastructure to be able to handle the future needs of our energy. We just do not. And AI requires so much energy. That's why Microsoft is buying Three Mile Island. That's why these companies, these tech companies, are looking towards nuclear power. We have to. This is not a question here. We have to be the number one country for energy. And it's got to be America as the energy independent country. That doesn't mean we can't trade, and we should, by the way, export our liquid natural gas. We should export our oil. It doesn't mean we can't engage in the world market. You have to. Energy is a market. If you watch Landman, you'll understand that. It's a marketplace, a global marketplace. But the point is, we have to be able to be energy independent. We cannot rely on these other countries. We can't. Now, as was said today also by Lee Zeldin, who is now up for the Environmental Protection Agency, Zeldin's not going in there to do what the EPA normally does, which is to bust chops of businesses, to go after homeowners, to try to find ways they can go after individual citizens for environmental harms, environmental crimes, and try to put into place things like bans on carbon dioxide, which you breathe out. He's not looking to do that nonsense. To say the water in your backyard is subject to regulation because all drains lead to the ocean, kid, like they said in Finding Nemo. No. What Lee Zeldin is there to do in the EPA is going to be much different. Cut number five.
Oh, it's fashionable to be beating up on China. It's good politics. They are now the major carbon polluter in the world. We have historically had that role. We're now number two. We're not going to solve this crisis without working with China. Are you and hopefully your colleagues, if you are confirmed, prepared to work with China to try to lower carbon emissions?
Senator, on many different issues, it is important not just to be working with nations that we are the strongest aligned with, but to also be in communication with, and engaged in dialogue with countries that might be considered competitors and also our greatest adversaries. And right now, China is a is an adversary in many respects.
China is an adversary in many respects and the world's biggest polluter, by the way. So as they keep cracking down on American citizens and trying to make our life a living hell, they do nothing about China. In fact, the world, as it enters all these different climate accords, does nothing about China being the world's biggest polluter. It's like going after gun criminals by passing new gun laws that affect law-abiding citizens and doesn't solve the problem. But you can say you're doing something about it, but you're not. Now, Scott Bessent, his confirmation hearing, this is now going to be Treasury Secretary of the United States of America. Here's Senator Ron Wyden asking Scott Bessent about China as well. And I think he did a great job here in this cross-examination on the Senate Finance Committee, cut number one.
Question, and that is about the legislation that was written in this room that was the biggest transformation on clean energy in American history. That is our package that basically said the tax code as it relates to energy is a broken down mess. And we basically said we're going to have a technology neutral system. The more you reduce carbon, the bigger your tax savings. Now there is a big effort in the Trump administration to reverse it. I think that's going to be bad for the economy, but it is going to be damn good for China because we are in an arms race on clean energy with them. Are you going to be on the side of people who want to unravel this?
Senator Wyden, just so we can frame this for everyone in the room, China will build 100 new coal plants this year. There is not a clean energy race. There is an energy race. China will build 10 nuclear plants this year. That is not solar. I am in favor of more nuclear plants. And I would note that the IRA, as scored by the CBO, is wildly out of control in terms of spending on the upside.
Let's not kid ourselves here, okay? Let's not kid ourselves here. These Democrats love China. They love China. That's the bottom line. And he destroyed Bernie Sanders, too. He did a great job going against Bernie. Bernie the Red, as Mark Levin calls him. Cut number two.
The three billionaires who you listed that all made the money themselves. Mr. Musk came to the country as an immigrant.
I understand what I'm asking you is... When you have a handful of people like Musk, who will soon be part of the Trump administration, and others, when you have three people owning more wealth than the bottom half of American society, when these people have enormous influence over the media, when they spend huge amounts of money in both political parties to elect candidates. What Biden said last night is we're moving toward an oligarchy. I'm asking you that question. Do you think, forget how they made their money, do you think that when so few people have so much wealth and so much economic and political power, that that is an oligarchic form of society?
Well, I would note that President Biden gave the Presidential Medal of Freedom to two people who I think would qualify for his oligarchs.
Yeah, one of them being George Soros, by the way. So stop kidding yourself. And I already went through the list of you of all the rich people that gave money to Biden. The fact of the matter is that these oligarchs that the Democrats keep warning about keep filling their coffers. Again, it is another distraction. It is another way they get to go look over here, blame the boogeyman, this boogeyman over here. These people are bad. That's why you're suffering. That's what they do. But they have been taking money from these oligarchs, these billionaires, people like George Soros, for years. I mean, Soros is probably the number one contributor to Democrats, Democrat candidates. Number one. So, like, stop, right? He just got the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And so stop with the whining about all it's hypocrisy to the utmost degree. And Senator Michael Bennet, Colorado, ranting about the Trump administration tax cuts and saying that they only benefited the richest Americans. He ranted about that for five straight minutes. I'm not going to torture you with that. Five straight minutes he ranted about this during the confirmation hearing for Scott Bessent. Okay? And then Bessent was able to give it right back to him and destroy that narrative about only the rich benefiting from Trump's tax cuts, which, remember, they expire soon and they have to be renewed. That's got to be job one when Trump gets back into office on Monday. God, I can't believe that. Isn't that great? It's so great to just say that. When Trump gets back into office on Monday. Like, this January stinks so far. I mean, for me personally, 7 days in the hospital, this friggin' IV I got to do in my arm, staph infection in my foot, possible bone infection. I can't be ambulatory for 6 to 8 weeks. I am still doing Jimmy's show Saturday night, Fox News Saturday night. They're sending a car for me, so that's good because, you know, I can't drive or anything like that. And St. Bridget is going to come and help me so that I can get into the studio, and it'll be fine, you know what I mean? But I can't go to the inauguration. I'm bummed out. It's January stinks. It's cold. Dry January makes it even worse. It's like torturing yourself. And the worst month of the year, honestly, January and February, too. It's brutal. But anyway, wow. Monday, Donald Trump is president again. This is a guy who I've met. I met the guy. Holy cow. Just thinking about that, right? I mean, I met the president of the United States of America. Of course, I met him before he was president. And I worked for him and stuff. And he called the show on election night, Matt DeSantis. You remember that? Called the show.
Very exciting.
And
expecting a phone call from President Trump.
You robbed me of 30 seconds of my time with him.
I did not rob you of 30 seconds. We had a hard out. I wanted to respect it. I think he only did like two interviews that night, and we were one of them. I didn't want to ruffle any feathers.
Look at that. See that on YouTube? It says, Rich, thank you. Great job. And then it's a big scribble. Looks like Reagan did it, but it says Donald J. Trump. See that? So that's cool. He's becoming president on Monday. That's kind of neat. You know what I mean? And a lot of people we know are going to be in high places of power. Like, we know we made a lot of friends during this campaign, DeSantis.
Tulsi Gabbard, Marty McCary, Doug Burgum was on the show, Kash Patel. It's sort of an endless list.
And it kind of is an endless list, yeah. And
How could I forget Pam Bondi?
Pam Bondi, I got her cell phone. Should I text her?
I would not. She's probably busy.
All right. And also Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary. Pretty cool.
Lee Zeldin.
So we got some friends, which is good. I think I have a pretty good shot this year of bringing the kids to the White House Easter egg roll. That's all I want. I told you. It's all I wanted. Just that.
Can I go? I love hunting for Easter eggs.
Absolutely not. I have five tickets. I don't have six. They said you can only bring five.
That seems like That's a convenient excuse. I'm not sure I believe you.
Justin, do you want to go to the White House Easter
egg roll?
I have an extra ticket if you want to go.
I would be absolutely honored to go to
Sean,
the White House.
Sean, you want to go and bring your daughter to the White House Easter egg roll? I got a couple extra tickets. We could probably make that happen. I love how there was a time that Coates called me out on that. She's like, wait a second. He was president for 4 years. That's four Easters. You never went to the White House Easter egg roll? And I was like, no. I don't know. I didn't know who to call. I didn't, she's like, well, you could have called like anyone, you know? I mean, you didn't know the president. Probably not that big of an ask, you know? You're not asking to be Secretary of State. Just take your kids to a friggin' White House Easter egg roll. Like, it's not, you know? When I said that to her, she I think in her mind must have thought that I was crazy. Like, that's your big ask? You worked for the guy in 2015. You were his debate coach. Like, that's all you want out of this whole thing? It's like Kramer when he did the lawsuit with the, was it Starbucks? And they offered him free coffee for life, and he's like, I'll take it. Remember? And they were also going to offer him, like, millions of dollars. Like, I'll take it. It's like, so we helped Trump get elected. We had him on the show. We had him on the show election night. We had all these surrogates, made all these friends, people in the cabinet, people in the West Wing. And could I get a tour of the White House? Is that possible? Could we do that? Like, you just want a tour? Yeah. Sure. Yeah, you can have a tour, I guess. There's some people from Michigan coming in on Monday. Why don't you join them, you know?
I feel like bowling at the White House would be pretty cool. I actually did get invited to go bowling at the White House once, but didn't go, and now I regret it. So if we're asking favors of the incoming Trump administration, mark me down for a bowling night.
Wait a second. Who invited you to go bowling in the White House?
A professor that I had at Johns Hopkins.
You didn't go?
I wasn't able to.
I was a White House intern in college, so I did go bowling in the White House. The bowling alley is actually in the, I believe it's in the old executive office building, which is now the Eisenhower executive office building, if I'm not mistaken. But they had Lyndon Johnson's bowling shoes there. And given the way he ordered his pants, I can only imagine how he ordered his friggin' bowling shoes. You know what I mean? I can only imagine what that phone call was like. You know, man, we have. So here's Senator Michael Bennett. I don't know how we got off on that tangent about the Easter egg roll. How did that even happen? The medication's really getting to me. I'm telling you right now. Holy cow. Somehow we got into the White House Easter egg roll. Anyway, here's Senator Michael Bennett. And here is the would be Treasury Secretary, hopefully incoming, Scott Bessent, giving it right back to him. Cut number three.
There are so many things I think you owe the American people after we have seen the catastrophe of the result from the tax cuts the last time and the fact that the benefits went to the wealthiest people. But don't you at least owe the American people a refund for the $2 trillion that they've already incurred because of the last round before you get to the $4.6 trillion? Can't we think of a better idea in this, the halls here, than cutting taxes for the wealthiest people and expecting that it will trickle down to everybody else when we have the profound needs that you have talked about, when we're living in an economy, you had the American dream. We heard you say that. Where fewer and fewer people can get ahead, where this generation of Americans is going to be the first generation to leave less opportunity, not more, to our kids and our grandkids, where we see massive income inequality and wealth inequality when Trump was president, when Biden was president. Can't we think of a better idea than that? And at a bare minimum, and this is tiny, don't we owe them an answer about what you are going to do to that 17% of discretionary spending or even the third before you come in here and say that the most important thing we should do is cut taxes for the richest people in America?
Senator, thank you. And I would respectfully disagree with much of your categorization in terms of the benefits accruing to the richest Americans. Actually, the share of taxes paid by the upper percent of Americans increased after TCJA. It went from 39% to 46%. The top 50% of Americans now pay 98% of taxes. And working families had real wage increases in 2018 and 2019 and going into 2020 pre-COVID.
It's true, because the Trump tax cuts led to historic, remember this, after COVID. The economy was roaring before COVID. It was roaring after COVID. In fact, it roared back big time after the lockdowns were over and everything else. Then what happened? Biden started spending money that we didn't have, trillions of dollars worth of spending. And we're still spending. So he just decided to give another, nobody paying attention to this, another $5 billion to Ukraine the other day. That barely made news. That was barely a blip on the radar. Barely a blip. All, so far, all of these nominees are doing an incredible job. An incredible job. I am still worried. I'm not worried about Pete Hegseth. They're saying now there might be a filibuster against him. I am not worried about Pete Hegseth. I think he's going to get confirmed. And I really hope he does. And not just because it opens up Fox News weekend for a new host. I just really think he'll do a great job. But now I'm worried about Tulsi Gabbard. And Tulsi Gabbard needs to get in there, too. Remember, Donald Trump and the Disruptors. There was a book called Woodrow Wilson and the Progressives. There needs to be a book called Donald Trump and the Disruptors about how this man, who is the disruptor, who we hired to go in there and disrupt the executive branch of government, to knock these people and to take over, rightly so, what is his, what the American people elected, a president of the United States. He is the executive branch. One person is the executive branch of government. And all these other people work for him. These bureaucrats who run the show. This is what needs to end. This is what needs to be disrupted. Tulsi Gabbard is the kind of person who will go to President Trump and say, Mr. President, do you know exactly what the national security state is doing to spy on the American people? And now you've got Republicans who are trying to cast doubt on her. And this makes me angry. Tulsi Gabbard needs to get confirmed. She's a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army. She is more than qualified. She should absolutely be there. But you notice how we haven't been talking about her. There's a reason for that, too. Republicans don't like her because she's an anti-war person, anti-deep state. So some Republicans don't like her. And Democrats don't like her because she left the Democrat Party. But I'll tell you one thing. She's absolutely the right person for the job. But here's GOP Senator John Curtis stirring doubts about Tulsi Gabbard. Cut 12.
For me, I can't make a good decision whether it's somebody as controversial as Pete Hegseth or non-controversial as Marco Rubio if I don't look at the entire sheet of music. And part of that will be hearings, FBI, right? Like, I don't even yet have all these pieces together. And I hope all of my colleagues take that same seriousness in our constitutional responsibility.
Could you give us any insight into how you're thinking about Tulsi Gabbard as a nominee?
Yeah, so Tulsi is the biggest problem for me is she's been so low profile. She hasn't, the others have come to my office. And so if you go back to that analogy of a sheet of music, her sheet's pretty blank for me. And I need more information to start filling that in. And look, if I can't fill that in, I can't vote for her, so I've got to find a way of getting that information to make that decision.
All right. Now, the good news is you've got some senators who were initially very, very skeptical of Tulsi Gabbard who are now open to her, like John Ossoff, who randomly said Tulsi was impressive, and now he's open-minded about voting yes. James Lankford has been critical of her. Look, I want these Republican senators to understand one thing. If you block Trump's nominees, there will be hell to pay. You do not get to stand in the way of what President Trump wants to do. These are impressively, enormously qualified people. Your role to advise and consent is very, very important. Don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. But there's no reason why you shouldn't confirm these people. Because President Trump has an agenda. He wants these people to help him fulfill the agenda. The people are qualified to do so. So don't stand in their way. And if you stand in the way of, like, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and you know me, I am not a prohibitionist. I don't like this idea of banning food dyes and banning all these other things. I have real problems with this. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. needs to be the head of the Health and Human Services. He needs to be. And these senators should not stand in his way either. Now, Joni Ernst got the memo. Joni Ernst got the memo about Pete Hegseth. The power that you have, that we have, that I have, that we have together is enormous. And believe me when I tell you, President Trump listens. And these senators listen, too. And they know that if they cross Trump, if they stand in his way of getting his team of disruptors, there will be hell to pay. Before the year ended, Joni Ernst was a hard no on Pete Hegseth. She wanted the job herself. And then everybody, or as they put it, MAGA, told Joni Ernst to back off. Well, that's true. MAGA did. Because we know that Pete Hegseth is the right guy for the job, and President Trump has the right to pick the people that he wants around him. This should not be controversial. The man has served our country. This should not be controversial. But the good news is she got the memo, cut 13.
So to have someone that is willing to cut through that and get back to where we're focusing on readiness for our men and women, because, you know, Simon, that's an important part for me, is that we recognize that women do have an important role in our military. And so he was adequately able to answer all of my questions. He pointed out the woke issues at the Pentagon. And I think we're at a point where now we can start moving forward. People know where he stands on these issues.
Yep.
So I felt it was a good hearing.
I thought it was a good hearing for him. Does he have your vote?
I am breaking news, Simon. I figured you would ask this. So, yes, I will be supporting President Trump's pick for Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth.
There you go. Boom. She got the memo. Well done. I also want to mention this, too. We have the audio of this, I believe. President Trump announced today on Truth Social. See if I can find this. Oh, and by the way, today Ron DeSantis announced that his attorney general is going to fill the United States Senate seat, which was a big deal. She's terrific. She really is. She's terrific. Let me get to that in just a second. President Trump announced a couple things that I want to share with you today. He is pleased to announce that, let's see here now, if I can find this. She's got a number of different nominations he's putting out. Like, he announced Olivia Trusty will be a commissioner on the Federal Communications Commission. That matters to us. She's currently the policy director on the United States Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, where she has fought tirelessly to grow the economy, empower innovation, and reignite the American dream. She's a graduate of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and Georgetown University. Olivia will work with our incredible new chairman of the FCC, Brendan Carr, to cut regulations at a record pace, protect free speech, and ensure every American has access to affordable and fast internet. Congratulations to Olivia. That's a big deal. It really is. That's great news. The FDA, the FCC matters in a big, big way. He also announced today, it was his honor to announce that John Voight, Mel Gibson, and Sylvester Stallone will be special ambassadors to a great but very troubled place, Hollywood, California. They will serve as special envoys to me for the purpose of bringing Hollywood, which has lost much business over the last 4 years, to foreign countries. Back bigger, better, and stronger than ever before. These three very talented people will be my eyes and ears, and I will get done what they suggest. It will again be like the United States of America itself, the golden age of Hollywood. John Voight, Mel Gibson, Sylvester Stallone. I got to tell you, that makes me so happy. I love movies. You know this. I've told you this for many, many times. I'm a huge, huge movie buff. China has gotten way too involved in Hollywood, owning movie franchises and their distribution centers as well. Movies are important. They employ a lot of people. Remember, a lot of those blue-collar guys and gals who work behind the scenes, not the actors, the people behind the scenes that help make those movies come to life, they're with us. Politically, they're with us, 100%, absolutely. And there are a lot of great films and TV shows that are on the right page in terms of message that are not all about indoctrination and wokeism. And America was at one time what we did, we exported to the world movies, and we made a lot of money doing it. And these big movie theaters in your town, they pay a lot of taxes. You don't want these places to go out of business. We don't need more big boxes that are empty. We have enough of that. We don't want that. We want these movie theaters to succeed. However, we don't want China to be influencing in our movies. We want America to dominate that again. I was thrilled to see President Trump do this. I thought it was a great idea. Stallone is fantastic. I mean, you talk about a guy who's a real guy. That's Sylvester Stallone. And he's done great work. Tulsa King, by the way, highly recommend it. And I'll show you what I mean about why Hollywood needs a giant wake-up call. And there is a story about how Hollywood recently has been trying to make more movies that are family-centered with better messages because they realize there's a huge audience out there for this. Now, I don't know if you got a chance to see the Reagan movie with Dennis Quaid, but the movie Reagan is not eligible to receive an Oscar. Not enough diversity. So Christian Toto wrote about this, Hollywood in Toto, and it says Reagan, not diverse enough for the Oscars. The 2024 biopic, one of the many films blocked from Best Picture consideration. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Blocked from consideration because there's not enough diversity. Whatever slim hopes the film had of earning a Best Picture nomination vanished in a DEI snap. The film was ruled ineligible for the top prize because it didn't meet the Oscars' new diversity requirements. The rules in question rose up from the fires of the 2020 Black Lives Matter protests. The Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences proposed that diversity mandates, which went into effect last year, demanding Best Picture hopefuls check multiple progressive boxes. Example, a film must have diverse crews or tackle subjects pertaining to marginalized groups. Jewish people apparently don't qualify. Reagan apparently didn't check enough boxes, and it's not alone. TheWrap.com reports 116 films released last year didn't qualify for Best Picture consideration because they didn't meet Hollywood's woke DEI standards. Not all of those films flunked the diversity test. Some may not have met other criteria, including feature films must open in a commercial motion picture theater in at least one of six U.S. metropolitan areas like Los Angeles, the city of New York, et cetera, et cetera. Why? Because that's where woke wants to make sure those places dominate. Others were cast aside like Reagan. Actor Richard Dreyfuss is one of the few stars to publicly slam the diversity measures. He said the new rules make him want to vomit. Reagan earned $30 million during its theatrical run, despite terrible reviews by leftist Hollywood. Richard Dreyfuss, who's a guy who's been advocating for civics education in schools, he said the new diversity requirements make him want to vomit. I'm a big fan of Richard Dreyfuss. This is a guy who loves our country and wants to see civics taught to every student. They make me want to vomit, he said. This is an art form. No one should be telling me as an artist that I have to give in to the latest, most current idea of what morality is. Good for him, by the way. So I'm glad President Trump is addressing this. I think this is going to be a great thing for our country. And as a movie buff, like I told you, I love going to the movies. So good for President Trump, naming again Mel Gibson, John Voight, and Sylvester Stallone to be special ambassadors to a great but very troubled place, Hollywood, California. However, President Trump made it clear he does not want certain people working for him. He put out a list of all the people that should not be considered for a job in his administration. I'll share that with you next. But I want to tell you about Emmons Roofing and Siding, my great friends at Emmons. They're going to give you a beautiful, beautiful upgrade to your home. Does your home need a new roof? Well, with Emmons, you're going to get a lifetime warranty on that roof with the best in the business shingle, the Owens Corning shingle. And if you need new windows, Anderson Windows, beautiful, stunning, and they have an incredible way to keep your home energy efficient. Whatever project you need, Emmons is going to give you 10% off. That's right, 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners. Just go to emmonsroofing.com. They serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And Matt and Stephanie are great friends of mine. They did great work for us. Emmons even has a bathroom division. And yes, they remodeled the bathroom in our old home. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to Emmons today, emmonsroofing.com. They will do a great job for you. And your home will not only look more beautiful from the curb, it will be more energy efficient. The doors, the windows, they make such a difference. And if you need roof repairs, Emmons will do that. And they will never tell you you need a new roof if you don't. There's a lot of companies out there, they scam you, not Emmons. Their word is their bond, and they do a great job, and that's why I'm so happy to recommend them. We've used them now for over 10 years in two different homes, and each and every time they have delivered for us. 10% off inflation relief discount, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This is a request from our buddy, my Marvel advisor, Brian Glass. Great friend of the show. Saw him in Judy and Cape May. This is from Twin Peaks, David Lynch, who said he probably would never have made films had it not been for Philly's filth. That's right. Philadelphia's filth inspired David Lynch. Pretty interesting fact right there. Glad you're here on the show today. Thanks for being part of it. Appreciate it very, very much. By the way, that guy who went crazy on that woman the other night with his rants, calling her the C word, apologized for his ranting and raving at the Eagles game. And that's probably because he lost his job as a result of it, because the video went viral and the guy issued a strong apology. But, you know, that's that. So anyway, good reminder that everything's on camera these days. So, you know, try to act with a little decorum when you're in public. President Trump put out the following on Truth Social. As of today, the incoming Trump administration has hired over 1,000 people for the United States government. They are outstanding in every way, and you will see the fruits of their labor over the coming years. We will make America great again, and it will happen very quickly. In order to save time, money, and effort, it would be helpful if you would not send or recommend to us people who worked with or who are endorsed by Americans for No Prosperity, headed by Charles Koch. Matt, we may have to stop booking guests from Americans for Prosperity, by the way. That may cause us a problem going forward. Dumb as a Rock, John Bolton, Bird Brain, Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, disloyal warmongers Dick Cheney and his psycho daughter Liz. God, I really do miss these tweets. Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, General with a question mark, Mark Milley, James Mattis, Mark Yesper, or any of the other people suffering from Trump derangement syndrome, more commonly known as TDS. Thank you for your attention to this matter. What I don't understand, though, is why he didn't include Chris Christie in that list. Because he could have said, not fat Chris Christie, don't say that because that's a terrible, terrible thing to say. And he put a picture of my old classmate Dennis Daggett with his dad, Harold Daggett. And he posted the International Longshoremen's Association. ILA President Harold Daggett credits President Donald J. Trump's support as a key to helping his members secure the greatest contract ever. You've gotten yourself to be one of the best friends of working men and women in the United States, Mr. President. The international president of the ILA cited a face-to-face meeting he had with President-elect Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago in Florida on December 12th, joined by his son, ILA Executive Vice President Dennis Daggett. As the chief reason, the ILA was able to win protections against automation for the 85,000 members and negotiate a tentative master contract agreement. Now, look, it's inevitable that innovation is going to come, automation at one point, but Trump is delivering for the working men and women and the union workers that he promised to help. And look, that coalition of people backing him, that coalition, I should mention to you, is the reason why the Republican Party is now the party of the working class. So Democrats have lost that. They've become the party of the elites, the faculty lounge, and look where it's getting them. You know, even the guy who trashed Brett Kavanaugh now has regrets about this. This is a pretty amazing story. So we should probably get him on the show. I know, Matt, you were trying to reach out to him about this, but This guy from the New York Times, who trashed Kavanaugh during the entire escapade of everything with all the allegations against him that were all ridiculous allegations, now has regrets. Regrets about how he handled everything. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaVanaria, VanariaDental.com. Great guy, great friend, master of dental implants, and he just helped out a buddy of mine who needed an emergency appointment, got him in this morning, 8 a.m. at Woodbury. That's the kind of guy that Brett Kavanaugh is. New York Times reporter who trashed Kavanaugh, Dr. Mike Vanaria is. New York Times reporter who trashed Brett Kavanaugh now says he would do things differently. A New York Times reporter who, without evidence, implicated a friend of Brett Kavanaugh's in the salacious and unsubstantiated allegations against the Supreme Court justice now says he would have done things differently. New York Times investigative reporter David Enrich reportedly told Mark Judge, a childhood friend of Kavanaugh's, whom Enrich implicated in wrongdoing, that he had learned some lessons from reporting the Kavanaugh allegations. Quote, I've spent a lot of time thinking about my role in the Kavanaugh coverage, and I would be happy to talk to you about it at some point. For now, I will just say that I have learned some lessons and would probably do certain things differently next time. Judge told Fox News Digital that he got the most unexpected response I ever could have imagined, which was the New York Times reporter who tried to ruin my life, now sounding contrite. Judge told the outlet that he believes the New York Times was given totally bogus allegations from disgraced attorney Michael Avenatti, who represented one of Kavanaugh's false accusers and other people. One of the most salacious and unbelievable claims during the Kavanaugh accusations was that he and Judge drugged and gang-raped high school girls, a claim that has no evidence to support it whatsoever. Judge told Fox News that Enrich, the New York Times reporter, and reporter Kate Kelly attempted to prove the outrageous claims by digging up dirt from high school years, his high school years. He also told the outlet that the false allegations against him by reporters had damaged his mental health and that he even contemplated suicide. He said he told the reporter about this, saying that the reporting had caused a terrible amount of damage and distress to my family and blew apart decades-long friendships. Judge said that the reporter seemed to offer sympathy, telling him, I can't imagine what it was like for you to go through that. For years, my friends at Georgetown and I have been saying, if only there was somebody with a conscience at the New York Times or the Washington Post, if only one of them would come forward and admit what they did here. And I think we've just gotten it. I think we may have found that one person with a conscience in David Enrich. I don't want people to badmouth him. I want to encourage him, Judge told Fox News. There you go. Let me play a cut for you. This is Governor Ron DeSantis making the announcement today that his attorney general, Ashley Moody, is going to be the new United States senator representing the great state of Florida. Now, I was rooting for my buddy Kat Kamick, but she's got a bright future ahead of her, and we do need her in the House. And that probably was the factor that Governor DeSantis used in his calculation. Can't take Kat away from the House. And a number of you emailed me about that, including our buddy Richard from Walla Walla, Washington. So that probably was the deciding factor. But I tell you, this AG is great. She was a fierce, fierce fighter for freedom and liberty during COVID. She is also somebody who has fought against the weaponization of the Department of Justice. She's a rock star. I think she's going to do a fantastic job. Here's Governor DeSantis with that. Take a listen.
So this is something that I thought about long and hard. We did a lot of research. We got a number of great candidates throughout the state of Florida, and many of them, I think, could have done a good job. But the final criteria I used was, because you can say all those things and say you stand for it, I wanted somebody with a demonstrated record of delivering results on those important issues. Talk is cheap. We need people that have demonstrated fidelity to these principles with their actions. So that is why today I'm proud to announce that I am selecting our Attorney General, Ashley Moody, to serve as our next U.S. Senator.
I There you go. Here is Ashley Moody, the senator designate for the state of Florida. Take a listen.
This guy used to be in Congress, and he says to me and has said to me, I don't know why anybody would want that job. I said to him, I kind of agree with you, Governor. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm pretty energetic. I like to get things done, focus on problems, solve the problems, deliver those to the people that hired you, your bosses, the citizens. And there's a lot of deadlock in Washington. And then I thought more about that. And I thought, if every person with the same energy, the same love, the respect for our founding principles, the ideals on which this country was built on, if every person like that with that personality said, I don't think I'd like serving in Congress, then we'd never change that culture. And so you're probably right. I probably won't like it. But I'm ready to show up and fight for this nation and fight for President Trump to deliver the American First agenda on day one.
Good. Excellent stuff. Oh, and some sad news. The head of MSNBC lost her job. I know it's so sad. It's so depressing. But MSNBC's ratings tanked so bad this year that Rashida Jones, who rose through the company from her position supervising daytime and weekend news programming, who oversaw the hiring of former White House Press Secretary Jen Snarky Psaki to host her own show, replaced Rachel Maddow 4 days a week with Alex Wagner, and extended Morning Joe to four painful hours, said after four incredible years at the helm of MSNBC and 11 years at NBCU, I have made the decision to pursue new opportunities, she said. That's like when somebody says, I'm leaving politics to spend more time with my family. I made the decision to leave and pursue new opportunities. Yes, I left my job making millions of dollars overseeing a network because I want to try new things. Maybe an Uber driver or Uber Eats. I don't know. Not sure. MSNBC's ratings have steadily ticked up after a post-election exodus saw star Rachel Maddow plunge to her lowest ratings in nearly 10 years, netting just 86,000 people in the advertiser coveted 25 to 54 demographic 2 weeks after Trump's win. 86,000 on MSNBC. Let me tell you something. This radio show has a bigger audience than Rachel Maddow has on MSNBC. But what does she make a year, Matt? Do you know? Is it like something like, $20 million a year or something crazy like that?
Yeah, something. It's a lot. It's millions. There was a rumor that she recently took a bit of a pay cut because her ratings were so low, but I don't know if that was substantiated or it might just be a random claim someone made.
I mean, literally, our audience is bigger than MSNBC's. Rachel Maddow, who is their star, and I don't get paid $20 million a year. That's for damn sure. I don't even, I mean, you take out a lot of zeros, a lot of many, many zeros less. But we have a bigger audience than that. Think about that. And she's a national show. Wow. Amazing. So Jones will be replaced on an interim basis by Rebecca Kutler, whom Jones hired from CNN in 2022. What do you think? What's your prediction, Matt? You think the network now is going to go hard on Trump, or are they going to try to do what CNN's doing and bring on conservatives like Scott Jennings?
I think they would be wise to adopt a different tactic than the one that they're currently using. And I would assume that the change at the top means that they'll likely go that direction.
We shall see. All right, big fourth and final hour straight ahead for you, including the mom who was arrested when her 10-year-old son was out walking on the street. We'll talk to the lawyer behind Parents USA as well. Big fourth and final hour. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.